Welcome, everybody, to this month's expert call. I'm so excited to have the amazing Kim Summers Eglesey. Kim is a confidence expert, TV host, TEDx and award-winning speaker. She's a life coach and a number one best-selling author of Getting Your Life to a 10+. Kim's also an awesome connector, promoter, and she's our Lessons from Confidence expert and a true rock star. And so, Kim, it's so great to have you today.
Thank you. I'm excited and have lots of energy for the call.
Fantastic. You know, we first connected through a mutual friend, Joe Alexander, and it was through our mutual love for my mentor, Jim Rohn, and the impact he had on you. And so do you mind just starting out here, just talking a little bit about your early experiences related to Jim and personal development and how that's impacted what you currently do?
Definitely, yes. And life can be very serendipitous and synchronistic, and it definitely has been related to Jim. I was introduced to seeing Jim for the first time when I was 19, and my dad started working with Joe Alexander at Park Regency Realty, which is a top real estate firm in Los Angeles. And Joe said, "You've got to go to this seminar and see this guy. He's a life changer." And so I went and immediately was impressed and started to read books and apply his teachings to my life and studied Jim and started, you know, going to more seminars and actually got to meet him at one point and really followed him and a lot of those greats like Og Mandino and Zig Ziglar through the years and always looked at them and said, I want to be the woman that gets up there and speaks with them, and I want to be like them one day. And so through the years, I did that, and still my dad works with Joe Alexander over at Park Regency. And so serendipitously, Joe introduces me to Kyle a couple of years ago, and we've been in touch, and that led to us now working together. And so it's really powerful. It was one of my goals for the last bunch of years to be doing something like this, and I believe, you know, our connection with Jim and the power, you know, of God and the universe and goal setting and vision boarding and all of that made it all come to fruition.
Wow, that's so powerful. Yeah, as we've peeled the onion, so to say, you know, we keep telling each other, just like you said, all these serendipitous things that have happened. Again, how you read an Og book, right, when you were a teenager, and, of course, the impact of Jim Rohn and Chris Weidner. Was at your book launch, right?
I got to mention the 12 pillars element. So when we first read 12 pillars, my family and my husband and I, it's by Jim Rohn and Chris Weidner, as you guys know. We were so impressed by that book because we realized that people that don't normally like to read would be so impacted by this book. And we decided to just start buying multiple copies and just giving them out for no reason, just giving them out to everyone that we felt benefit from it. And so when it came time to write my book, I wanted it to be a book that gave immediate tips and tools to change your life in the way 12 Pillars does, but not, you know, not exactly the same. And so 12 Pillars was my inspiration, and my dad said, "Why don't you ask Chris to speak at your book launch? Because, you know, obviously we can't get Jim, and Chris is amazing." And so that's what happened. A little over a year ago, I did my book launch, and Chris was the keynote speaker, and it was all modeled after first reading 12 Pillars. So that was another synchronistic, serendipitous moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many different topics we can cover today, Kim. I definitely want to talk about confidence and your book, Getting Your Life to a 10+. But, you know, when you and I first connected, well, you know, we first connected a couple of years ago, but when we reconnected about doing these chapter events around the country, one of the things that so impressed me is you had done 100 events yourself over the past 3 years. You had sponsors at these events. I mean, no one I know really does that. And that was so amazing to me. And I also want to say just the generosity you have and being a connector. I mean, authentically connecting people. And every person I've talked to, and there have been so many that you've connected me with, they always just rave about you. And so I just, you know, I read the, you know, all the highlights of what you've done. But those two things additionally have really just stood out to me. So, you know, doing your own events, 100 of those in 3 years. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know everyone listening to this, those are things that, you know, they might aspire to do as well.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. And I think definitely to go off of part of what you said, is part of confidence is really having the opposite of a competition mindset. And so that means tons of connecting and collaborating with the right people that support, uplift, and encourage you, and not having fear there, not having lack, and not feeling like you're going to be compromised or you're going to get less business, and realizing actually it's going to gift you with so many opportunities and so much wisdom from the people you connect with. And just you end up with so many nuggets of different information from all different type of people, as well as just the fun of waking up and going, you know, what's this person going to say to me today? What kind of feedback am I going to get? What opportunity am I going to have come to me this week because I connected so many people? And it's not even about that completely, but it happens as a result of it. Kind of like Zig Ziglar saying, you know, you help enough people get what they want, you do end up getting what you want, even if that's not your intention. It just happens. And so I have always been someone, another tip for confidence is to create your own opportunities and jump into them. And instead of sitting around going, oh, I can't wait till someone gives me an opportunity, why not say, this is what I want to do. I'm going to ask as many people as I can for help with this so that I can get there quicker. And then I'm going to start taking action and creating my own opportunities. So I wanted to be a speaker. I said, I'm going to make my own event. And so I did a bunch of workshops, like events and workshops we actually did. I did with some other speakers, a women's exhilaration event with lots of different speakers. Nancy Ferrari, Claudia Cooley were some of them, their lessons from members. And then I did life purpose workshops. And then I decided I want to do a workshop where people can meet every month. And so I ended up having workshops and events that were in Los Angeles and Orange County every single month for 3 years. And then I gave people opportunities to speak at each one. So sometimes we'd have one speaker, sometimes five. And so that built my community as well. Not only did it give me event and speaking experience, but it positioned me as a leader, and it also gave a lot of other speakers experience. So then in turn, they give me other speaking events. So it's a win-win for everyone. And some of those 100 you mentioned, Kyle, were also mastermind groups and things like that. But there were a lot of events in the period of 3 years, yes.
Well, you know, you were doing an L.A., you were doing an Orange County, and then you had one more in, right, a mastermind group over 3 years that you've got the 100.
A few. At one point I had three going, so yeah.
Well, okay, so I've got to repeat this. Create your own opportunity and jump into it. And that is so powerful, and I'm going to tell you it's so rare, and the people in your world, in your circle, I notice that that's what they do. They go create their opportunity and jump into it. I think you have been a catalyst for them doing that. And you said so many things. I mean, so many nuggets about positioning yourself as a leader, right? When you do that, you're also making room for other people. You know, when I talk about having literally 10,000 books, videos, DVDs, whatever it is, it's because as a promoter, everyone sends you their stuff, right? And So it really is a powerful position when you have the ability to create your own event and then be the host and bring other people in. So, you know, whether like Tommy being a musician, I mean, every different person part of the network, if they can learn from that, of going and initiating their own platform, right, to then be a catalyst for other people. So very powerful. So, Kim, your book, Getting Your Life to a 10+, I know you talk about 7 points in the book, and the first one is the power in believing you can. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, another tool or tip for confidence would be really knowing how your own beliefs are affecting your reality. And so thinking that your beliefs are going to be based on your culture, what your parents and teachers taught you, what you've learned through the media, what you've decided for yourself, as well as different things maybe even in your genetic makeup, personality traits you've developed, it's all kinds of things that shape your beliefs. And most definitely experiences. So if someone had a really harsh experience like being abused, or maybe somebody got laughed at when they got up to speak, or different things like that, all those things are creating huge layers that if we don't know how to let go of those and kind of sift through them and get rid of them and turn them into wisdom, then it's going to affect how we see the world and how we're communicating with others and how we're even talking to ourselves and things like that. And so the most important thing to do is to start to remove those layers and maybe work with a coach or work with an accountability partner and really figure out how to get rid of anything that's holding you back, that's a belief that isn't working for you, so that you can have that 100% belief in yourself. Because those things I mentioned will put blocks on the energy of you being able to completely believe in yourself. And that's when fear comes in, and uncertainty and insecurity and thinking that you're not going to make it and that other people out there can do better than you. And really what it is just blocks that you can remove and work on, and it can happen a lot faster than you think.
And so there's some tips and things you can do for that, I know, in your book, and I know you also have small mastermind groups, and then you have one-on-one coaching, and then we're about to do the four-week series on confidence. So really, it people can start anywhere, right? I know in the book itself, just different exercises and things you can do, right, to start addressing those layers of things that get in our way or have us stuck.
Definitely, and I think starting with my book and doing the exercises. And it's the thing that's wonderful about it is that if someone's at a really high level of awareness and personal development and success, they can still benefit from it, because sometimes there are little things here and there you can improve on and get better at, and that's what 10 plus is all about. If your life's already at a 10, why not make it a 10 plus? And then for people who have a lot of things to work on, just, you know, getting a little bit out of it at a time, and, you know, through the months as they go by, you'll see things get better and better and better, and it'll be this big boom, where all of a sudden you wake up and go, wow, my life has really shifted in amazing ways, and I never knew I could be this confident or this successful.
I know at the June 24th event, in your talk, and you did a phenomenal job, by the way, of getting people there, putting on the event, hosting the event, handling the networking and masterminding, being the keynote, and then hosting the panel interviewing the panelists. So phenomenal job. But I took so many notes when you were sharing, and one of the things you talked about was taking the different parts of your life and giving yourself a score on that, and then being really committed to things that you really are passionate about. Can you talk a little bit about that process?
Yes, and I think this can be, it's very simple, but it can be a really life-changing process, and I'm not saying it's simple to take action on it, but it's simple to do it. And then the action part is up to you. But you basically, there's a longer version, but the shorter version of the exercise is to, about every 6 weeks, make a list of everything you're currently doing in your life. And so who are you spending time with? What are you doing? What projects are you, you know, taking on? What career are you involved with? Things like that. And you know, you don't need to put laundry and taxes and sleep, but just basically what your main things you are focused on in your life right now. And then in the second list, you want to put what are some big goals and dreams you have. And then you're going to go back on both lists and rate each thing 0 to 100. 100 being like, this is something that sets me on fire, and it's like breathing to me. I'm in love with it. And 0 being that you don't want to be doing it at all. And going back and saying, okay, I am only going to choose the things on my list that are 90 to 100%. And the goal being that everything on your list is 100% eventually. And I totally get it that it's not possible sometimes. Somebody might be in a job that's a stepping stone to what they really want to be doing. Or maybe they're helping someone that has hardships and that's kind of making them drained or something like that. But the goal is to be aware and slowly lessen and eliminate the things that are not 90 to 100% so that when you start doing this every 6 weeks, everything you're doing in your life is at 100%. And sometimes you might even have to sift through those things and go, oh my gosh, I don't even have enough time to do all the things I love. I'm going to pick my top five 100%. And this can be very effective in really sculpting your life the way you want it.
No, that's so powerful. And I'm so glad you weaved in that it's not something you can just do abruptly, right? It's more being aware. I know of a person who's a caretaker for some, you know, elderly parents, and there's not a lot of options for this person. It's very limiting.
Yeah.
But again, and I know there's this, there's always exceptions to the rules, but even in that, I guess, the more aware you are, you could maybe potentially make better decisions in how you handle those circumstances.
Definitely. And I think, for example, like I was working with someone the other day, and she has a goal of doing something really big in the future. And she said, I know it's going to take me a year, and right now I'm feeling really bored and stuck and frustrated in my job because it's not getting me anywhere. And I asked her a bunch of questions, and I helped her see that her job actually was really giving her a lot of leadership skills and communication skills, and how she could actually go into work and refocus her attention to develop those leadership and communication skills even more that will work for her new project in the future. And now she's able to look at her job different and more like a fascination and more exciting than she did before. So something like that while you're working toward the things that you want 100%.
Wow, that's very powerful. Okay, so yeah, anytime we have those difficult circumstances, trying to find the positive, right? Trying to find...
Definitely. I mean, what's your other option? Being miserable every day? You know, that's not fun.
That's so true. So with your book alone, I mean, we could go through so many points, but I want to get to questions here pretty quick. I noticed the book that you and Susie did. It's Susie's book. You're a big contributor in it and a big part of it on the marketing campaign, Sexy, Fit, and Fab. Number one in 16 categories, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, awesome.
And just tell us a few marketing secrets on that, if you would.
Yeah, you know, a bunch of people have helped me with bestseller campaigns and things like that. So really what I'll say with, because that's Susie's book, I wouldn't really want to share that information, but what I'll do is share my book information.
Okay.
And my book hit bestseller in 7 categories, and it hit number one in 1 category, which I felt was amazing. I mean, it is over the moon that her book, Sexy Sirens, hit 16 categories number one. That's amazing. And she was working with someone, Janae Dana, who's very gifted in that. She was working with you, Kyle. She was working with a bunch of people. So I think it was everybody teamwork making this happen. But with my book, I think I really got lucky. It was a mix of, you know, I put it in the inspiration self-help category, and then I just spent a week really emailing people and asking and saying, please, this is so important to me. Can you buy, you know, 5 copies of my book on this day during this time? And the key is to really pick a time that maybe on a weekday at, you know, 10 to noon, and having as many people as you can buy your book at that set time on a weekday is more likely to make your book climb into the bestseller. And as long as it hits the top 100 in one category, your book's considered a bestseller. So mine hit in 7, and then I remember at midnight, on the night of my actual red carpet book launch, I looked, and my book had hit number one. So that was really amazing.
No, very much so. And I know, for example, everything you just shared, additionally thing, part of it is you had built up the great rapport with everyone, right? Because you've been such a giver. They were so ready to help you. And the other thing you can do is ask people to go write recommendations on Amazon, right? And really push that up as well.
Yeah, and I think just not being afraid to ask people, and I did offer, like, you know, 10 books, I'll give you, you know, I think it was like 90 minutes of free coaching and my CD or something like that, but it was more sincerely taking the time and emailing. It was time-consuming, but I really personally messaged everyone and actually authentically asked how they were doing and maybe commented on something they were going through or doing. And I think that adds to it as well, because you're not just doing this mass advertising, you know?
Right. So collaboration's a big part of what you do as well. I know at the event that you hosted, you had all these different sponsors and the hotel. Again, I mean, the budget you did this on was unbelievable, and yet you had a red carpet. It was videoed, you know, photographer, sound, wine, organic foods, coffee, the incredible juice company, or, you know, the green tea company you have. I mean, just the whole thing, and it would blow people's mind on the budget. But that, a lot of that comes from asking as well as, though, collaboration, right? You just really have that network of people you collaborate with.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things, and I think this would be helpful to the people listening, is with sponsors and asking. I learned long ago from reading The Aladdin Factor by Mark Victor Hansen. I think Jack Canfield wrote it too. I can't remember. Mark Victor Hansen, I know. But The Aladdin Factor is really powerful and teaches you to not be afraid to ask. And so I've always used that. Just, hey, if you ask 30 people and two say yes, it's worth your time, you know, if it's something that you're really wanting. And so I've always been not afraid to ask and not really care what people think. And I've gotten lots of sponsors and free things and strategic partner things, but I'm always offering something in return. So, like, if I get, you know, a big drink sponsor to provide drinks for everything I do for years, I'm always giving them photos and social media plugs and putting their brochures and putting their logo everywhere. And so I offer them something in return. And so I think that's the key. And then with connecting and collaborating, I think also just when I meet people and I feel good energy from them, I immediately think of what can I do to help them and who can I connect them with. And sometimes, I mean, you know, like your friend Andre, this is pretty common for me, but like he was saying he wanted to do some radio shows. So immediately I just went, okay, and I introduced him to 5 radio show hosts within that 10 minutes. And I do that a lot for people as long as I vibe that they have good energy and you know, they will look good if I do that for them, vice versa. And so I think being able to be okay with connecting and giving back to people and not expecting anything in return and just having fun with it and being excited for them.
No, that's so, so powerful. And, you know, you mentioned the Aladdin Factor. I mean, that's been part of our peeling the onion, right? First it was the Jim Rohn story, and then you told me, oh, I read Og Mandino, right? And then, Chris was the you know, at your book launch, and then you tell me about Mark's book, and those were, you know, 4 people I so closely, you know, worked with and collaborated with, and the stories continue, right? So it's again, serendipity, and again, how our friends have all connected. I know, like, Chip coming to the June 24th event, right? No one knew Chip in L.A., and yet, you know, here he's going through a difficult time with the passing of a loved one, and just the support you guys have poured on him. And, I mean,
yeah,
that says everything, right? That's special.
Definitely. And I think people realizing that, you know, in the past I had someone in my life that I was working with, and this person had a lot of great, great qualities, but they also had some negative qualities that just weren't acceptable. And so I ended up eventually parting ways with that person, and like hundreds of people came in my life. And so to really be aware that sometimes one person's energy is taking up space where you could be meeting so many people, and when they're the right people, it just works. You end up having time for it, you end up having space for it, and it ends up being such a blessing in your life. And really, it can change your life in really miraculous ways just by one person you meet.
And you know, that's part of the timing issue as well. You know, when you're talking about this network of people, and when you're a giver, I know in some of the things we've been doing, some of those relationships that are connecting with what we're doing with the network, you've had for a long time, but maybe it wasn't the right project, right? And I know that happens a lot with me too. Long-time relationships, and then all of a sudden, here's the right project to do something together. And so having that just giving attitude but thinking long-term, right? Someone has a new deal and they're pounding you on the new deal versus just building relationships and finding what the right fits are. And, you know, having that long-term range of thought.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And doing it for fun, though, and doing it authentically, not in the intention to get something back. Because I don't I don't feel like that. I feel more like, okay, if it does, it does. If not, I'm just having fun helping someone.
Very good. Well, we're going to open it up for questions about confidence, whether it's about marketing, whether it's about books, coaching, whatever you want to go there. We don't mind the question if you don't mind the answer. So I'm going to unmute everyone, and then go ahead and mute yourself if you have background noise.
This is Claudia, and I would love to jump in.
Hi, awesome. Claudia.
Hello, everybody. Oh, it was so awesome hearing you guys today, and what a great workshop, whatever we want to call this, event coming together. And Kim, I love how you go back and just make it so clear how to have confidence, and it's not like something you have to hit yourself over the head with or feel bad if you don't feel you have a lot of it, because you can keep growing it and reaching for, toward that 10 plus. But the one special thing that I just want to kind of reiterate what I heard you say, first of all, either you or Kyle said create your own opportunity and jump into it, and Kyle reiterated, yes, that was powerful. And
yes.
So creating your own opportunity is up to us, and it's only limited by our imaginations. You know, it's like getting up every day and being open to new opportunity. How exciting is that? Because it's available to all of us. And then, but the big piece that you said is jump into it or step into it. So that's the part that we have to be brave and courageous and fearless and jump in and do. But then, Kim, you talked about let go of limiting beliefs, and that was so powerful. And it's a message we all need to hear every day. So thank you so much, you guys. It was great hearing you.
Thank you, Claudia. It's good to hear your voice.
Claudia, mm-hmm. Thanks so much. And Claudia is one of our lessons from experts. And just I'll let her tell you how young she is, because she lives like she's 22. But if you don't mind, I don't want to put you on the spot. You don't have to, Claudia. But you blow me away with your energy and vitality. So if you're
well, we'll just say I'm 50 years beyond that number. So
And
Claudia was a part of the red carpet book launch with her book in March, and it was me, Claudia, and Susie Augustine. And you know, I could have done my book launch by myself with my book, and I really wanted to share with my other friends who are doing their books together. And so I went with a non-competition, total collaboration mindset, and we had a blast, and it was amazing.
It was. It was exciting, and the group of people that came together supporting us and what we were up to was so energizing, and, of course, having Chris Widener there was so impactful to all of us to have that kind of person that we all hold in such high esteem, and he contributing to our celebration. So that was exciting days. An evening, the red carpet event, yeah. And now working on Susie's book has been being part of that. Here we go again. So it's an exciting journey. So being 72 ain't bad, everybody.
Yeah.
You
awesome.
Totally inspired me when we talked, Claudia, that day with Kim. And that was, truly inspired me. So thank you for jumping on the call. Really, really appreciate it.
There you go. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Okay. Questions for Kim?
Kyle, this is Giroux.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thank you, Kyle. Kim, my name is Giroux, and I'm calling you from New Jersey.
Hi.
Hi. Quick question. I have an opportunity to speak before about 150 women in the month of September in Kansas City. And I, one of the, my questions is I do realize that when you're speaking to men versus speaking to women, it's a whole different experience. I have never spoken to a group of women this large, but I do understand when you're talking to them about potential, there are certain things that women will value and there are certain things that men will value. What is your experience in terms of experience and advice in terms of learning how to communicate well and connect with women, yet empower them without scaring them?
and what is your topic?
I'll be talking about potential.
Potential?
Finding and living out your potential.
Okay. And I want to reassure you, like at least for me, through my life, I've looked up to, or I don't know if I would say look up to, but I have admired and been inspired and motivated mostly by men motivational speakers. It just is that way. It wasn't like I consciously tried. It's just all the ones that are my top people. There's a few women, definitely. But the men really stood out to me for some reason, just resonated with maybe my drive and focus. And so that's a plus for you. And I would just be very authentic, and women actually – I feel, in general, are more open and more open-minded and, you know, will be more communicative in many ways at a seminar. And so I would definitely make sure you add interaction, like, you know, ask some questions, have people maybe quickly partner up, things like that, where there's a lot of collaboration and interaction so that they feel they're included and that you're respecting and making them important, as well as, you know, being up there and giving them a strong message.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Kyle, any addition to that?
No, I think what Kim said is excellent. I really do.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Kyle?
Yes.
Hi, this is Nancy Ferrari. Hi, Kim.
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
How are you?
I just had to jump on, and I like Claudia, I want to congratulate you and Kyle. Lessons from Network is amazing. And what I want to share for the listeners out there who may not have had the luxury of meeting you yet, what you shared when I met you 3 years ago is that you truly come from the heart. And when I was listening to the previous question about speaking to a different audience, what I know, and then your response, in that, you know, we speak to mixed audiences as well. As long as you're sending that message from the heart, you can't help but know that it's going to land exactly where it needs to. And that's what you always do. And you inspire me, and I thank you so much for connecting me with so many people. My goodness, this week I interviewed two of your very closest friends. You know, I'm always in gratitude. You're right under my skin all the time. And,
thank you.
And so, and that those connections, and Kyle, what you shared with when you met Kim, and you just, there's just that synchronicity right off the bat that we've been doing this, maybe not being connected together, but eventually you do. And that's what's so wonderful about this community. And I'm so grateful that you introduced me to it and that I'm involved in it. And as you can tell, I'm very enthusiastic and absolutely enjoy all the connections I've made thus far. So once again,
I just wanted to
jump in and share that gratitude and what you do. And that is a key component about for all of us. When you come from a place of being authentic and sincere, you can't help but attract a lot of people your way.
And definitely. Thank you so much.
You should be in the dictionary with authenticity equals Kim Summers Eggleston. So anyway, I just
thank you. Thank you so much. And I like what you said, like to stem off of what you just said. Thank you so much. And you guys, we'll see a lot more of Nancy in Lessons from Network, as well as her radio show and book and everything else she's doing. And I wanted to also, for the speakers out there, really remind everyone that, you know, I'll give an example. I had a rock star that I was interviewing. I won't name names, but she and I started kind of talking privately, and she said, oh, my gosh, I'm so nervous that I have to host something at the Hollywood Bowl and speak. And I said, how could you be nervous? She was this big rock star that had performed huge people like Elton John in front of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And I said, are you crazy? How are you nervous to speak? She says, well, I'm not nervous performing as a rock star, but I'm nervous to speak. I don't know if I do a good job. And this was after I had been interviewing her and talking to her for over an hour. And I said, if you go and host that thing and talk to the people the way you just talked to me, you're going to be totally successful because they're going to love who you are. And she said, I never thought of it that way. And I said, you don't have to be this rehearsed, perfect, you know, robot entity to be a speaker. You have to be yourself, and you're going to do an amazing job. So I think that's such a good reminder, Nancy, of just being sincere and authentic. And, yeah, of course, you're going to polish some speaking skills here and there and eliminate ums and likes and you knows and things like that. But I think the bottom line is to make sure you're completely comfortable being yourself.
Exactly.
Very good. Very good.
And it all comes together in the end.
Nancy, thanks so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Questions for Kim?
Hi, Kyle. This is Carol McWilliam.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hi, Kim.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I wanted to comment that I was really struck by when I was at the June 24th launch that you did, and I even mentioned it to you afterwards. You know, I think so many of us are burned out, I speak for myself, with going to events where we feel like there hasn't been true connection. And that was one of the things that I really was just so impressed by you, Kim, that you created a space for all of us to come and truly have a way to connect with one another.
No,
you started us off with who is your favorite mentor. And so we immediately went not on a surface chat, but we went deeper into who is this person and how can I get to know them. It was phenomenal, and I think that your ability to help people touch their soul and then bring that forward and connect to somebody else's soul, I think we are all craving that in our world, and that sense of community, but also that personal, just really soulful connection. And you're a master at that, Kim. And I just, if there's some way that you can share a little bit more how you do that, I think it's a natural process that we all have. It's certainly, I love living there. And when I came to that space and it was everybody else living there, it was really inspiring for me. And I'm looking forward to upgrading to Platinum and being a part of all this community, because I feel that's what all of you are about. And I think we have some big things that we can make a difference in the world for. So thank you for that, Kim and Kyle.
Thank you so much, Carol. And you really, I feel like you gave me probably the most beautiful feedback anyone's ever given me like that night. And it really touched my heart. And it just felt really from your heart. And you speak really wonderful. Like, you just speak really eloquent. And it just comes from the heart so strongly. But I do feel like I try to, when I'm doing an event or coaching or anything like that, and even before I was doing this as a career, I've just always tried to step into people and see what they need and want and where they're coming from and how they're feeling. And I do it automatically. Like, I just try to do that all the time as much as I can. And so when I'm doing an event, I think about my intentions for the event and what do people really want, and it's definitely connecting. And most people need practice on how to authentically connect until it becomes a way of life and they're comfortable with it, because most people don't feel comfortable looking in someone's eyes or telling someone something they deeply see within them and things like that. It's a little uncomfortable because it's not a normal way of life until it becomes a normal way of life. And so I like to do little segments where we're almost trained and practicing how to connect deeper and be more authentic with one another, and then give other people permission to do the same.
That's beautiful. And I think that we can use that nugget in any aspect of our life, whether it be personal or whether it be in our business, whatever it be, is coming from that space, then what comes to and what flows from that is truly can be received in magical ways.
And you know, one of the simple things I do that sounds funny sometimes really works is when you feel irritated or frustrated or angry at someone, stop yourself and say, you know, you run into maybe a food server or, you know, an airline pilot or, you know, just somebody that you're interacting with and they act rude to you. Think about it and go, wait a minute, are they really coming from good or evil? They're probably never coming from evil unless they're some psycho. and so it helps you to shift your mind and go, okay, they're probably deep inside coming from good and they're just having a bad day. Or maybe I remind them of someone that was mean to them. Or maybe they just had a breakup or a death in the family. And it helps you take a deep breath and go, is this really that big of a deal? Am I going to punish myself and get myself all worked up? Or am I just going to try to look deep inside of them and help them have a better day? So that's another thing I do that's kind of related with connecting with people as well.
Nice.
Carol, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Kim, that's great. Okay, additional questions.
Hi, Kim. It's Christopher Burton. How are you doing today?
Hi, great.
I had a quick question for you, and I'm sure everybody else is wondering this too, because as a speaker, it's great to try and sell tickets, but it's even better if you can get sponsors. How can you go about, and how do you go about getting sponsors for your events?
You know, with sponsors, I've basically just, you know, like for me, I even have clothing sponsors where they provide, like I was working with Romeo and Juliet Couture clothing, and they provided me tons and tons and tons of clothing for 6 months, like something like that. I've done a lot of trade sponsors where I say, you know, can you provide food for the next two events, or can, like, just chill drinks. They provide drinks for everything I do for the last few years, like, and we have a continuous relationship. And then, of course, I've had monetary sponsors as well. But I think the secret is to, for me, what's always worked is just to find out who the head person is, email them, and give them a list of what you're doing. So you're definitely going to plug yourself and tell them, you know, what kind of media are you doing? What kind of events are you doing? Who's your audience? And what credibility do you have where they'd be interested in you being kind of the spokesperson for them? And then number two is, what can you give them? What would benefit them from doing this? And it may be 3 social media plugs a month. It may be putting an article about them in your newsletter, or plugging them at the next 10 events you do with a 3-minute commercial, putting their logo on your banner. And so you can decide per sponsor what's worth, you know, what you're asking for, but definitely giving them equal amount of what they're giving you, it usually always works. And I mean, I would say out of every, you know, 15 that I ask for, I'll maybe get like 2. So it is a, you know, it's a numbers game.
And can I tag on to that, Kim?
Yes.
The part of it, Christopher, also is just collecting success stories. You know, it's like everything else. You have to build momentum. And I know when I traveled around the country doing events, I got my first business journal, you know, as a sponsor. And just like Kim said, you know, I just went the extra mile, got a testimonial letter, then I had that story. Then I get the next business journal, and then, you know, I hit a home run in one of the cities where I sell more subscriptions for them than they had ever had at a seminar. So they give me the most incredible testimonial letter. And so I think that's the other key is realize in the beginning it's always the hardest, but you get a sponsor, you overgive. In the beginning, you just got to overgive to get those testimonials, get those success stories, and then start sharing those stories.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, guys.
Hey,
yeah.
Thanks, Christopher. Good hearing from you. So, Kim, I've got to ask you this. First of all, your incredible positive attitude, your, you know, I keep thinking, I always think of your philosophy. You know, what's driving when you talk about how you relate to people and having, you know, giving first. To me, all that is philosophy, and that was part of what Jim Rohn taught. So early on, you were introduced to personal development. You started reading books. Your parents, I'm sure, play a role in this. So yeah, the whole philosophy that might have set you apart from a lot of people that you knew. What were the couple of key things that have driven your philosophy?
To tell you something interesting, too, is that, you know, people would think, oh, well, since she, you know, started so young doing all of this, she must have, like, the most perfect life. And there were a couple periods in my life when one of them I was about 20, and then another time I was 27, where I really hit bottom and made really poor choices and just had some really icky things happen and climbed out of it both times. But what happened, what I realized afterward, is that I like to say I fell off the personal development wagon, because I realized both of those times when I had really bad things happen and I was self-destructive was when I had stopped reading and stopped hanging around positive people and kind of just, you know, stopped giving back or doing charity work. And it really helped me realize, okay, that can't happen. It's kind of like working out. You have to, even if it's only 10 minutes a day, you have to be reading something positive, talking to someone positive, you know, immersing yourself in that positive energy and personal development and spirituality and things like that to keep yourself fueled and keep yourself going. And I think that that's for most people. It really makes a difference, or else you could steer and veer the other way. And so that's one really actually made up a philosophy for me, is to always be reading the books and always continuously growing and being aware, you know, of what you're doing. And then number two, I would say that I got used to checking in with myself regularly and checking in and going, what am I doing with my day? Who am I with? What am I, how's my attitude? How am I communicating to myself and to others, and catching myself if I'm being negative or if I'm being impatient with my daughter, which is the one little thing I'm still working on. but really checking in, you know, and making sure that I am moving forward with my life the way I want my life to go. So that one. And then I think really who I'm hanging out with is a big one. I'm really careful about who I spend time with, and goal setting, you know, being aware of what I want in my life and always working toward those. And then when I get those goals, working towards something else and just being always excited about what I'm doing.
No, I love that. And I know for me personally, having had the same thing happen, personal development got me to that next level. It got me, you know, in my partnership with Jim Rohn and everything else. And then somewhere along the way, when I stopped doing it to the degree I had originally done it, I felt entitled, right? Because of everything, you know, you accomplish these certain things and you feel entitled, but you're not doing the work anymore, right? And I know I've had those gaps in my life where it's like, okay, what's missing? Well, it's I let off the personal development side of things. And so
mm-hmm.
I so appreciate you sharing that. Okay, additional questions for Kim.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Bill McDonald. And I wanted to chime in on, Kim, what you were just saying. My own personal life, I've been a straight commission salesperson in a very competitive market for 23 years. And very successful initially. I had a lot of horrific things happen in my life that literally sapped every bit of me where I felt lifeless and dead. No confidence, and I've always considered myself a very confident man. I could step into any place and just strike up a conversation and be social. I have to, being a straight commission salesperson, I have a customer base that I have to deal with. And only thing I really have to sell is myself. And because there's a million people that do the same thing that I do, that sells the same stuff, so all I have is me. And mm-hmm. so I had all these things, you know, happen in my life where sap the life out of me. And so I mean, as what you were saying, Kim, on who you surround yourself with, what you input into your mind, your self-talk to yourself, wow, what a absolute difference that can make, not only in your own personal life, but in the lives of the people that you're involved with, and who you allow in your life. And I found that when I was at that real negative place in my life, I started looking around who was in my life. It was people, the naysayers, the market is too tough, the economy just crashed and burned 5 years ago, why do this, it doesn't matter, and you're going to not be successful, and you're just spinning your wheels and wasting your time. I found that when I was surrounded by those type of people, my income was cut in half, or even to the point of a quarter. Mm-hmm. I would get up in the morning, and everything was just horrible. But as soon as I made that transition mentally in my head on personal growth and to surround myself with the right people and start targeting, you know. But anyway, I just had the personal testimony on how important that really is.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, wow, thank you so much. And so it definitely works for you. It worked for you as well.
Absolutely, and I'm still on that journey and that process, but because I never knew, honestly, about personal growth. I just thought you just kind of just existed and just kind of felt, you know, like a pinball bouncing around.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
thank you so much.
People need to be aware.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the group and all the positivity. It's
thank
awesome.
You,
Thank you, Bill. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, another question for Kim. We only have a few minutes left.
Hey, Kim, this is Roy in England. How are you?
Thank you.
Hi. Good. How are you?
Yeah, great. One question. If we were to ask you to give us a picture of how you see your future, what would you say?
Oh, thank you for asking that. I see myself, I have big dreams and big goals, and so I see myself speaking in front of thousands. I mean, in the a little further down future, I see myself speaking in front of thousands and thousands of people in, you know, a big, big venue and doing a lot more media, you know, being maybe the guest expert life coach on different shows and different things like that. Those are the two big things. I mean, definitely great family things and spending time with people I love and traveling a lot and things like that. But for career-wise, I definitely see more media and working with Kyle to a large degree on many exciting projects.
Working with you in the network, what is the greatest ingredient from the people in the network that we could give to you to help you to get to that position?
You know what? Just support, you know, like just genuine feedback. I love feedback. And I love feedback if it's constructive feedback or positive. You know, it doesn't have to always be positive. It could be, you know what, I think this could be done better, or you could shift this, or this is coming across strange. Or I love feedback. I feel like that's how you refine what you're doing.
Roy, hey, thanks for the question. Kimps, I know we're about to wrap it up here. We're doing the 4-week confidence course coming up. Can you give us a couple little tidbits on I think you have 24 key points on it. Anything you can share with us about that?
I am very excited to have this confidence course on how to really own who you are more than you do now and exude confidence in every interaction. And for this 4-week confidence course, there will be 24 tips that you can start to apply immediately to start building and growing your confidence. And the beautiful thing that most people don't realize is that you can totally learn confidence. You can totally learn and build it, and it doesn't take as long as many people would think. It's a matter of removing some layers and applying some skills and starting to love yourself more and starting to step into who you are. And then one day you wake up and you realize, wow, I really am confident. You know, I feel it. I know it. So I'm very excited because I think confidence is really the key to so many things, and it's one of the keys to eliminating fear.
Excellent. So one last really, really quick question. If anyone has a quick question for Kim that everyone else can benefit from, jump in.
Hey, Kyle. It's Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
So great point that Kim just touched on, fear. As far as I'm concerned, that's the greatest illusion on the planet. If everyone could get rid of that out of their lives, they can accomplish anything.
Yeah.
But my question for you, Kim, is how do you think social media is going to play in what you're doing going forward?
Oh, good question. You know, honestly, I regularly do research on what I'm doing and where I'm getting clients and audience members and things like that. And social media is always number one or number two. And it really has become 75% of my business. And it's amazing. I have many people that I have only met through social media. I have a client in Pakistan right now even. And so I feel like it's huge. I have a lot of fun with it. I feel like it's a nice way to reach a lot more people and inspire people daily. And I really work at that. I take it really seriously to put out positive tips and tools and things for people, as well as I think it's fine to share, you know, share things I'm doing in my life or celebrate successes and things like that, because I think it inspires other people to do the same with their lives. So thank you for that question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great question. So Kim, how can people get a hold of you on social media and your website, different ways people can find you and connect with you?
Yeah, my website is kimlifecoach.com, very simple, and you can subscribe to my newsletter there. And then I have several Facebook pages, but I'll give you my main page, and I have a few spots left for friends, but that you can always follow me there is facebook.com/kimlifecoach.
Very good. And you got me on Instagram, right? Thank you. And, of course, your Twitter. And so from Facebook, can they find you on Instagram and Twitter?
Yes, definitely. It's all under there. Everything's under either Kim Life Coach or Kim Summers Eglesby.
Right. And, yeah, and from your website as well. Hey, everyone, as we're ending the call, everyone just give Kim a big thank you for taking
thank
the time
you.
Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, thanks
you.
Thank you, everybody. Great call.
Yes, thank you. Hey, Kim, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thank you.
Call.
This was really fun. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.